thank us for our brother for the invitation to come along and speak to you and to testify. Now, why I said it's good to be with you, the bad news is for you, you're not going to be out at 8 o'clock tonight. That's the sad news. But sure, where else would you be going tonight after this? And it's good to be with you tonight, and we trust that the Lord will bless us together as we speak of our Saviour and what he has done for us and what he continues to do for us. And even though we've been through the wars, as it were, with medical problems as well, to know that the Lord is with us. I just want to read one verse with you of Pastor Dennis Ryan testifying, and I thought this would be it was a very appropriate verse that he read for the word of testimony. It's found in Acts chapter 26. And Paul is giving this testimony here before Agrippa and before Festus and Felix. And here in Acts chapter 26, in the verse 22, he says unto them, "Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying not other things than those which the prophets and Moses should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles." What I can say with the opening words of that 22nd verse, "Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day." I want to tell you what. I want to tell you what the Lord has done for us, and how the Lord has kept us, and how the Lord has preserved us, and how the Lord has guided us, and how the Lord one day will take us home to be with him. It's good to see you tonight, and with some friends and visitors in the congregation. We want to thank you for coming along and for your support. But we need the Lord. And so let us turn briefly to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, we thank thee for all that has taken place in this service. We thank thee for this anniversary weekend. And Lord, for the witness and the work of God here in this corner of the vineyard, down through the years. And we pray, O God, that while we give thee thanks for the years that are past, Lord, we look to thee not only for this year to come, but Lord, for the years to come, that thou would bless the congregation and the minister here, Lord, that thou would bless them in the work of God and give them many souls for their heart. But, O God, we pray at this anniversary, the weekend, and as we stand, Lord, the Sunday evening of the first Sunday of a new year and a new decade, Lord. O God, we pray that you will come and stir each of our hearts, stir us up in the work of God. And, O God, we pray that tonight, Lord, that we'll start afresh with thee and to serve thee. Lord, give this preacher help tonight as we speak of and exalt our Savior, for it's in his name we pray. Amen. Now, I'll give you the details, first of all, because you know my name, many of you know me, but you're thinking, right away, what age is that? Well, I'll make that simple for you. If I live to the 15th of February, and we're not too far away, and hope to live that long, I'm 56 years of age. Born on the 15th of February, 1964, born into a family, quite a large family, and I was the youngest of five boys, the best looking, the tallest, and the most intelligent, and also four sisters. So that was nine children in the family. I was always a gentleman, even from the very beginning, because of a twin sister. And I says, "You go first." And she was born 20 minutes before I was. Mom had a hell of a breath, but had been born on different days. She had been born on the 15th, I had been born on the 16th. But that gives you a little bit of my background. We were born into a large family. We were born into a farming family. I see our brother down there. And they would have bought some of the heifers that we had, calf heifers. You know, we always sold the bad ones, but then you got the poor ones, and we got the good ones, and you know, and you get a good price for them too. I can remember my father coming home from Market Hill with a heifer one time, and he was getting £980 and we had the calf at home. And I'm talking, what, 30 years ago, brother? And we said to him, "Why did you bring that heifer home? We had more than enough to look after." He says she was worth £1,000. He had £980 in his pocket. And that's sort of a map it was. It was interesting. They gave her the land for another £20 stake. But we're brought up on a farm, and that's where I got all the nappies and the cues. That's where I got the education. Out in the fields, we kept pigs as well. And we often said we kept pigs to feed the cows, and I was reared on Weetabix and spuds. And that was just about it, but that done me no harm. And that made me the size that I am, and just the person that I am. But we never had much of the world's goods, and I said, I'll basically have nothing. I can remember the house, an old thatched house, was the first house we had. They were about 6 years of age. Remember the rats running across the ceiling from one side of the house to the other? No running water. You can't imagine that. No running water. No sink. Or no kitchen. No bathroom. Nothing like that. And so, right at the very beginning, I was determined that I would work hard and that I would make something better of life. Have my own wife and my own family. That's what I wanted, even as a young man. I wanted to have my own wife and my own family. Wanted to work hard and provide for them more than we had. Now, while we had many things in the world, we had one thing, and that's the most important thing of all. And we had a godly mother. My father, at that point, wasn't saved. He made a profession whenever I was about 18 years of age. But we had a godly mother. We weren't brought up in the Free Church. And we were brought up not only Church of Ireland, but Mummy had a great brethren background, and so we went to all the brethren meetings. They came and they collected us. They were very, very good to us, the Andersons of Ardmore Gospel Hall. Very, very good. For our relations, but very, very good to us. And they came and they collected us. And so we were at the brethren on a Monday night. And on the Friday night, we were at the Good News Club and Alan Anderson's home and his garage and the youth fellowship. And then on a Sunday morning, we went to the Methodist Sunday School. And there we were taught the gospel. There's no question about it. We sat under a godly old man. And then, on the Sunday afternoon, we went to the Church of Ireland. And we went to the Sunday School. It wasn't so good there. But then after that, we went to the Church of Ireland service. And it wasn't so good there. But and then, once a year, the Presbyterian Church, Belleville Presbyterian Church, was sent for the Abrahams, because there was more children in the Abraham household than there was in the church. And so they sent for us to come along and for the sign that we'd done that, and of course you got your book and all the rest. But that's the way we were brought up. But I was brought up knowing that I needed to be saved. And listen, folks, that's what you need to know tonight. You need a Savior. All have been born in sin and shapen in iniquity. And because of our sin, we're going down to a lost eternity. But Christ has died that our sins might be forgiven. He has shed his blood that you might be redeemed. And listen, folks, I don't care what church you go to tonight. I've covered the most of them. I've been in nearly all of them. It doesn't matter what church you go to. You need to be born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You need to be born again. You need to be saved. You need to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Your ceremony, the Apostles' Creed, the Magnificat, the Nunc Dimittis, it will not get you into heaven. The Westminster Confession of Faith is good, but it will never get you into heaven. You need to be saved. Yes, Christ has died. But as I was preaching in the old church this morning on the Passover, the Lamb had died, but the blood had to be applied to the doorpost and to the lintel of the door. And Christ has died. He has shed his blood. But unless you apply that blood to your heart and to your life and to your soul, unless you're washed and redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, you'll go to a lost eternity in hell. You need to be born again. Washed and redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. That's the way I was brought up. Now, at the age of 10 or 11, I can remember the night. I don't remember the date. But listen, folks, you don't know, you need to know your date of birth to know that you're alive. And you don't need to know the date of your conversion to know that you're saved. You know, there's people in the torment themselves because they don't know the date that they were saved. Well, stop it tonight. You don't need to know that your date of birth to know that you're living. And you don't need to know the date of your conversion to know that you're saved. I don't know the date whenever I was saved, but I can remember the night as well. I was cleaning out some pigs. I'm being brought up with the brethren.
And as the colleges are completely different thing, you know, we're not going down that road tonight. But I was brought up believing that the rapture. And I thought, if Christ comes tonight, I'm not saved.
You can remember the name there. I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. I wonder, can you remember that name? Whenever you were saved? Now you're upright and honest, but you're not saved yet. Well, why not tonight? Like this, the Sunday night, the first Sunday night of 2020. My father meant this would be. Behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Listen, friend, if you're trusting in your good works and your self-righteousnesses, you're dependent on a broken stick for far too long. You'll be right with God. Make this to be the night that you remember for the rest of your days. Now we're going to be more worthy. Those 10 or 11 years of age, I've soon my little bit. Teenage years, you stopped going to the children's meetings. I was on the farm, we had quite a number of cattle. Things just weren't as handy then, but there was plenty of work. And so I was at home on the farm, and during my teenage years, I wanted to do nothing else, folks only farm. Tractors and machinery and cows and cattle, that's all I lived for. Something new. That's what I enjoy. That's all I wanted to do. And so it was at times whenever the meetings was on, you were too busy to go out to the meetings. Stop going to the children's meetings. Stop going to the Sunday school. Stop going to church. Too busy. And you know, farmers can justify themselves for missing the house of God because we're busy. I tell you something tonight. I don't care if you're farming or not. If you're too busy to miss God's house, you're too busy. And you're busier than what God wants you to be. See, the problem was, and it's often the problem on the farm. The farm was running our lives instead of us running the farm. The farm was running us instead of us running the farm. And can I tell you something? Once you start missing the meetings, you start on the road to backsliding. You start missing your prayer meeting. You've started on the road to backsliding. I wonder where you'll be on Thursday night. Now, I know there's people with responsibilities, there's people with children, there's people with work duties, maybe working out. But there's people sitting on the sofa. And there could be in the prayer meeting. And it's the first step to backsliding. And you know, as a teenager, I backslid. I would never get into the things of the world. Now, you're not living with a man that smoked and drank or cursed or anything like that. But you know, you don't have to be in the things of the world to be a backslider. You can be a backslider sitting in a church pew on a Sunday morning, and maybe a backslider sitting in a church pew on a Sunday night, and was cold at heart. Never in a prayer meeting. Do nothing for God. Wonder if that's someone you used to be in the prayer meeting before the services, even on Sunday. You were there. But you're not there now. But what am I going to call you? What am I going to say about you? If you're not doing for God what you used to do for God, what title are we going to give you? Well, the title I gave myself in teenage years was a backslider. Backslider at heart. But you know, God will be with you. God will power and give you an opportunity. He's a merciful God. But eventually, God will be with you. So happened to be my sister that I was killed almost 30 years ago. I wanted to be with the Lord. She was going around with a young man out of Portadown Church, and they invited us along to a meeting one night. It was a special testimony meeting like this. My Christians, and he was a rodeo champion, so that suited us in the farm. And we went along, and that night, sitting at the very back pew in the gallery of Bethany Free Presbyterian Church, I felt the Lord speaking to me.
Saw him in the backside. Hope there's a fire. And that night in the, at the back of the gallery, I came back to the Lord. But you know, I still had these desires for the farming. Still had these desires. I was coming back to the Lord, you know, but, you know, it's one thing to be saved, and it's another thing to be surrendered unto the Lord. Two different things. I'm not talking about the second blessing, brother. Don't get me into trouble with the week of prayer. Saint Big Jeff believes in the second blessing, but I believe in being surrendered. Surrendered unto the Lord. You know, I come back to the Lord, but still I have my own desires and my own ambitions. The Lord was starting to call me, but I refused to go. He wanted me to go into full-time service, into the ministry, but I refused to go. I started again from God. I didn't want to be in a pulpit. Listen, folks, I never chose to be in a pulpit. But God chose me. I got, well, as young men, do, they started going out with a girl. Left school when I was 19. Started going out with a girl. We were engaged and ready to get married. Well, it wasn't in God's will. And I was at home on the farm intending to go nowhere else but the farm. And those two things in particular that I took before God and took before His calling, the Lord took away from me. There were 6 or 8 weeks, I can't remember now, it doesn't matter. But it was 6 or 8 weeks of getting married and the invitation for print, but they were never needed. For me and her, we parted ways. So you say, if you quit her, if she quit him, well, don't you worry about it. God quit us. Some people want to know more than they need to know, you know. And you're not going to know what you don't need to know. You know. Because you can think about it. But God took them away. And then you see the farming. I've been farming for 2 buckets off the ground. And there was one winter the cows come into the house. And between the dust from the cows and the smell of the sedge and everything else, the cows left behind. My eyes locked up. And I was in the parlor, and I was like, what a mess, brother. My eyes shut, and I couldn't get them open. And I thought, right, I'm a sort of stubborn boy, you have to be, you know, at times. He says, I'll do the outside work. And so I did. Got through that year. Next year, the cows come in, and open. God will bless us. I never were disobedient. The old chest locked up. And then my eyes were shut and the chest wouldn't work. And I went to the doctor and says, hey, could this turn into farmer's lung? He says it could. And there was an old boy lived down the road from us and he was sitting at the end of the table. He had suffered from farmer's lungs and all he could do was. And that's all he could do, breathe. And I said to the doctor, listen, don't. I knew what was happening. And tell the doctor, what was happening? He wasn't going to be able to fix me. God would be able. And do you know, folks, whenever that engagement fell through, I had a little mobile set up at the end of my father's house, home and dad's house. And I did a little mobile and surrendered my life to the Lord. That was a changing point in my life. Now, can I say this? If you're saved tonight, and your life, your spiritual life, is just a humdrum life from Sunday to Sunday. And you think there's something missing here. I'll tell you what it maybe is. You're not surrendered to the Lord. It is a work for you to do. But you're not surrendered yet. And until you're surrendered, that will tell you something you don't know. And until you're surrendered, you'll never know the joy of His salvation. But I was surrendered, and I was going back out to my church now in Port of Town. It was one Sunday morning, the Reverend Andy, who I wanted out of that place because I thought he was picking at me. You ever get that feeling whenever the minister preaches and you say, when he gets in at the door, it's down. So he's preaching at me the night.
And I wandered out of the church that Sunday morning because the Lord said in John 15, verse 16, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And again, you see, even though Mr. Hankin started bargaining with God, he came up when God was a stubborn boy. He says, Lord, if you let me work, I'll do missions. I'll go to the college and I'll do 2 years and I'll come out. I'll be an evangelist and I'll do missions around the country. But just let me work part time. The Lord said, no, I have ordained you. And the thought of me with a collar on, it just didn't seem right, and it still doesn't. My wife will try to have collars up in the door. And the only time I see an urn is when there's a dedication or a wedding or a funeral. And that's the only time you probably see me with a collar on, unless it's to keep me out of trouble some other way. You know, it's a good thing, you know, whenever you're God speaking, to have a collar on. or a Bible sitting there. I'll tell you this story. My mum was in the hospital, she was very poorly at the time, and I came out of the hospital and the Bible sitting on the passenger seat. I phoned my wife, and man, you know what women are like? The phone, everything's at the bottom of the bag. She'd never heard the phone, never answered. And I sailed down the road, down the motorway, brought the phone back, and of course I looked at the phone. Talking away, on the next thing I took a look into the morning, better go, Jesus beside me. So I sat the phone down, and there's nothing like a bit of honesty, you know, folks. Always be honest. Called in, and the policeman got out, put the cap on, and I thought, oh, here we go. I had no collar on, but he come along, and I put the vest as this constable. I'm sorry. There's nothing to say. I was on the phone. He says, what was the big urgency? So talking. He says, my mum wasn't so well. She says, so poorly. He says, I'm very concerned about her. Oh, that wasn't. It's good for anything. And he says, I phoned my wife, and she never answered, and she phoned my back. And says, I left her the phone. I know I shouldn't have. Because I looked at the phone, and he says, right, right. He looked at me as if to say, you're a common pack of legs. And I says, honestly, Constable, says, hey, I'm actually a minister. Says, I tell you the truth. He says, I know you are. I don't know you. And he says, you do? He says, I see the good group down in the passenger seat. He says, you see, the next time your wife phones, ignore her. And drive on to the next safe place, pull over, stop the car, and talk to her. Pull her back. He says, don't let me catch you here. He says, thank you, Constable. So listen, folks, if you're speaking, make sure you have the Bible sitting on the passenger seat. You let get away with it. But anyway, the Lord had called me. And eventually I give in, and I went to the Reverend Adjutant, asked him about the ministry. He says, is there anything else you can do? Nothing. He says, go away for a year and think about it. And I come back and he says, I still feel the call of the ministry. He says, take another year and think about it. But he doesn't want me. This man is something to kill me. And I don't know what I've ever come on, but he doesn't want me. And I said, is there a plan? Says, if I don't go this year, the Lord's going to pass me by, and I have to live in God's second best. He says, well, Jeff, you've got to do two things. He says, join the church. I say, yeah, I haven't joined the church. Well, have you joined the church? He says, join the church, and he says, apply for the college, and that's what I did. I've met Warner after the previous engagement. Paul and I had made about a year, 3 months ago. I met Lorna, and I've been going with Lorna, and the Reverend Elliot said to me, he says, you're going with the wee girl, I see you coming out to the prayer meeting with her, and you're out for the services with her. I will get married next year. He says, when you get married, you have to live in. So we got married, and were married on 27th of June 1990. And I'm a right one because I'm no good with kids. 27th of June 1990, we were married 30 years, the blue was still well. The following year, the Lord blessed us. Remember, I said I wanted to have my own home, my own wife, and my own family. The Lord started to bless. And now I've got a wife that I love and a wife who would stand by me through thick and thin. The Lord gave us our first daughter, Rebecca, the 8th of April. Then in September, we entered into the Whitfield College of the Bible. The following year, we were blessed again with another little girl, Naomi. And then we were blessed for a third time with our oldest son, Andrew. Now, those were during the 4 years, 4 years of college, were times those. Tough times academically. I wasn't the shiniest marble in the college. Everything I got, I had to work for. Tough times financially as well. Lauren went out, she got there's three little ones, you see, and Lauren went out to work a couple of days a week. I would have finished college 4 or 5 o'clock in the evening. Went back to Irwin's bed break. And listen, folks, I washed baskets. I washed them very bread baskets to get a few pounds to get through college. I picked up the litter in the bakery yard to get a few pounds to get through college. Those were tough days, but I think it's something. They were humbling days, and those were good days. And those were days when we proved the Lord of his faithfulness. I tell you, folks, if you're saved, what are you worrying about? We have a faithful God. Whenever he says that he will meet our needs, well, why do you doubt him? Well, he might give you the cash in your hand. Will he give you the means to get it? We have a faithful God. Don't you worry. If you love the Lord and you're walking with him, you have no need to worry about 2020. For he goes before us. And his presence will go with us. And my God shall provide all your need according to his riches and glory. Now I finished college and waited for about 15 months. I remember Desi McComb one time saying, I thought the Lord had forgot about me. Waiting 15 months and sitting thinking, I know the Lord has called me, but there's no door opening now. But then the Lord opened up the door, gave us a call to our church in Auchnacloy. And you know, there's just one thing worse than having no pulpit. And that is being in the wrong pulpit. There's only one thing worse than having no church. And that is being in the wrong church. And even though I was back in the bread plants again, you see, I'd leave the farm and I was a bread man for 7 years before I went into college, and they always told me there'd be a job in Irwin's bakery for me. And after college, I went back into the bread plants again. But whenever I got the call from Auchnacloy, I said, Lord, I want you to show me. You must show me from your word. Is this where you want me to be? The Lord said in Genesis chapter 12 and the verse 10, he says, and there was a famine in the land, and the Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there. Well, Auchnacloy was actually down. People talked about taking a run up to Auchnacloy, but it was actually down. Our brother Jarvis Lockhart, that was killed off the tractor, I remember being in his house one day, he says, hey Jarvis, is Auchnacloy up or down? He said, brother, everybody talks about going up to Auchnacloy, it's down. He says, why do you ask that? And I was just wondering, Jarvis. Just wondering, brother. You see, the wee mice was working in my head. And God said, Abram went down into Egypt. And I knew I had to go down into Auchnacloy to be the minister there. And so, on Friday the 13th of June, I'm not superstitious, but it was Friday the 13th of June, I was ordained to the ministry and installed to our church in Auchnacloy. It took place in the Water Valley Church. Now, I was only there about 2 months, and I started to feel ill. I remember taking a sickness, our brother Harry's with us tonight, and Lorna, Harry had come up to the house, I don't know if you remember this, Lorna, or not. Harry came up to the house and I was in the bed, and how sick as could be. So says Harry, he's not there. And Harry came down into the bedroom, and Harry said to me sometime afterwards, he said, "Well, I went down, I thought you were going to die." I was really poorly, and the fingers started to swell, and a Sunday morning I'd been going to the tap, and I'd run the hot water over my hands, and I'd get my fingers straightened out, and get my hands sort of going again, and I could go down to the church to preach. And you know, I thought it was rheumatoid arthritis when I went to the doctor. The doctor says, "It says, I think, Jeff, you've got rheumatoid arthritis." He says, "Is that where you buckle up?" He says, "It is." He says, "Well, can you keep me straight?" He says, "You can." He says, "Well, Dr. David, whatever you have to do, you do whatever you give me, I'll take." He says, "If you can keep me straight, I'll take it." And I said, "Lord, I was in the college for 4 years. I had to wait 3 years." He says, "Lord, if you give me 5 years, what will happen?" Well, he says, "I want you to go and see the specialist, Dr. Bird, in Dungannon." He was a lovely man. I don't know if you ever met him, but he got me up on the couch and he started to squeeze my fingers and my knuckles, and he started to squeeze my feet and the ankles, and I don't know whether he brushed his hair or not, but his hair was thin, and he scratched the head. And he says, "I think you have SLE. Only thing I'd ever heard of was an SLR, but he says, "You have SLE." And he says, "Well, doctor, you may keep talking for a minute." So we made it easier. He says, "It's a stomach mucus erythematosus." I said, "That's helpful, you know." And then he says, "Well, what's that?" He says, "It's a bit like rheumatoid arthritis, but," he says, "it affects the whole body." And so he says, "I want you to go down and see the kidney specialist in the city hospital in Belfast." Well, wherever I have to go, I'll go. So I went down, and long story short, biopsies and blood tests and one thing or another, I was diagnosed with systemic lupus erythematosus. It's known as systemic lupus. And probably most of you have never heard of it. You see, if you look healthy and well, don't read a book to the cover. What is systemic lupus? Well, it's life-changing. And it's a life-restricting. And it's a life-threatening condition that affects the joints, the muscles, and the organs of the body. Of late, the peripheral neurology, that's one of the conditions. You say, "What's that?" Well, whenever I go to bed tonight, I probably rub my feet for off one another for about an hour before I get to sleep and have a painkiller in me before I can get that out of sleep. And even in the camps the other day, I got some of those wee rescue drops, and they're supposed to help you sleep. Now, whether it's in the mind or the drop of onto your tongue, so whether it's in your tongue or your mind, but you have these things to do. It affects the joints of the body. It affects the muscles of the body. You see this physique that I have? That's a cortisone physique. You have a big torso. You have a big belly. And your skinny legs and your skinny arms and your muscle wastage, and that's all part of it. Lungs, I'm attempting nothing up in the galvan. So you've got to be very careful. You see, whenever you're up in Wolf, on the top of their dairy, but you don't mention dairy down here, you're going out of town. I'll just say, I'm up in the galvan for, listen, folks, I have about 8 different clinics that I attend to. Well, this peripheral neurology, you probably will have another one to go to. And I take about 18 different types of medication just to get up and to get going. The probably one of the most difficult parts of the systemic lupus is the chronic fatigue. You can be sitting in the middle of a lovely meal and you just get so tired that you can't finish it. But the Lord's good. Good folks. What did you get down because you've got a headache? Take something for it and praise God you've got a headache. And keep on going. Keep on praising. We have a great physician.
with a great shepherd, with a great saviour. But anyhow, the Lord has opened the door for us, not before. With my condition, I lived there for almost 21 good years. The Lord opened doors up into the schools. There was Upnapoy Primary, Upnapoy College. There was a bit in Caledon Primary. There was in Ballygolly Primary, Upper Primary, Town Hall Primary. There was this, doors opened into the community, into the old people's homes. 21 good years. Man, we had some good times with Senator Warner coming down the road. Remember the night he was preaching in Kilkeel? And it was the family night in Upnapoy. And she said, we got away from Kilkeel and we were home and we're passing the church and we were able to call in at the church in Upnapoy for a cup of tea. Now, Kilkeel didn't start at 7 o'clock. Upnapoy started at 6:30. And with some powerful times there, there was times after the family service was set and chatted that long that we put the kettle on for the second time. 21 good years and seen so to see. New trolley start. My, the Lord was good. During the time, I look back and I'm so thankful for that the Lord chose me and He used me to establish the work there, you might say. During the time, we purchased a manse. We were able to buy the old Upper Methodist Church for an outreach work. I left a beautiful building almost completed. People said to me, it was a pity that you weren't there to open the church. Well, the Lord had spoken to me, you know, years before that I wasn't going to open the church. I had been reading about David and the building of the temple. And David was to have all the preparatory work done. And he gathered up all the materials, and I've been reading through the book of First Chronicles again, and he sat in order, the singers and the doorkeepers and the musicians, and he had everything set in order. But David wasn't going to build the house. But Solomon, his son, would build it. The one coming after him would open the house. And I remember one night I had done hours and dirt for miles and miles and miles to get the work, the church started. And the Lord said to me one night, she says, are you just building a church to put your name on it? He says, I know. I said, well, I don't think I'd open this church. I think the Lord of all was going to die. She says, what? I said, I don't think I'd open this church. But I've got to do this work. Somebody else will open it. And so if you say, were you disappointed that you didn't open the church? No, I wasn't. Because God opened it. Open it. You see, folks, if you walk with God, there'll be no disappointments. And if you walk with God, He'll tell you things. And He'll show you things, and He'll guide you. But what a blessing it was to minister there for 21 years. In our first year in Upnapoy, God blessed us again with our second son, our fourth child. And I tell you, my God is good. Whenever you're surrounded, oh my, reap in the blessings. But after almost 21 years, then there was another sickness came. On the 22nd, on the 21st of this month, almost 2 years ago, I took it again. Went to the doctor and he says, Jeff, you have to stop work. Taking off or putting in the sick. Stress, you know, the whole thing that got to see me and him. Or David and I. Reverend Mill and I, we're just human. We can take sick. Whether it's body or mind, it doesn't really matter, it's all a body. And after I went on the 22nd of January, and he says, you've got to step back. It's too much. And so, bed for another four weeks. I spent the time sitting in the Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do?
Nothing you can do.
And again, the Lord, you see, listen folks, if you're walking with the Lord and reading this word, He's showing you what you need to do.
Yeah.
I was reading
You know, one day I came home from a meeting and I met some of the brethren to discuss the situation, my health and all the rest. And I knew that I needed to seek the Lord. It was a Monday, I think it was. You know, I went off to do a wee job in the afternoon. I went out to the conservatory and I sat down and I said, Lord, you've got to show me what you want me to do. And he says, Lord, I'm not the type, you know, to go all through the Bible seeking for a verse that suits what I want. And I said, Lord, you've got to show me what I'm reading. And I was reading in Exodus chapter 3 in the verses 16 and 17. And the Lord said, I have surely visited you. And we're going to read part of this verse. I have surely visited you, in verse 17. And I have said, I will bring you up out of Egypt onto the land of the Canaanites. And I stopped there. And I says, Lord, whenever you called me off and call you, said Abraham, I'm down from Egypt, I sojourned there. And now, Lord, you're saying, you've said you've come up and you're going to take me up out of Egypt, up to the land of the Canaanites. He says, Lord, you want me to leave? And you, the Lord, was saying to me, I want you to leave. I tell you, that was hard. Because, folks, I want you to understand this. When a minister leaves a church, he leaves his... No, don't do it for money. I'm only going to pay you for it. I was losing an income. I was losing the home. Lauren was going to lose her job. And my youngest son that was at university and doing a job as well, he was going to lose his job as well. I meant a lot about redundancy and all the rest. Whenever the Lord wanted me to leave up my boy, I was losing the income, Lord with hers and James says, and our home as well. Thankfully, we were only home there to purchase that if we needed it, was there. But I tell you, listen, folks, our faith was being tested and tried. But remember that wee verse in Philippians 4, my God shall provide all your need. And then I have the promise, he says, I'm taking you up out of Egypt. But he went on, he says, I'm going to bring you into the land of the Canaanites. Now you know what the land of Canaan was like? A land of hills and valleys. Now the Lord didn't tell me where he was going to take me. And I didn't know. And I only came back home from my work. And I says, Lord, I know what I need to do. She says, what's that? As I got to step down. He says, I know that. I said, Lord, I don't know where the Lord's going to take us. I'm like Abraham when he went out with Isaac to sacrifice his son. He didn't know where he was going. He didn't know when he would get there. He didn't know what path he was going to take. And that's the place. But I says, I'm going to trust the Lord. And I stood down from our church and on the boy at the Lord's behest. You know, after that, the Lord began to work. And all at that time, I get close. On the 25th of May, 2018, I got a wee phone call from the Reverend Morris Baxter in our church in Mullingham. He said, Brother, would you close in prayer at my retirement service? Oh, he wanted to close in prayer. Well, I'm friends with a man, but we weren't best buddies and drinking coffee together. I don't drink coffee for her. We weren't drinking tea together. But you see, it was all in the Lord's hands. And listen, folks, this is amazing. I closed in prayer on the 25th of May at Reverend Baxter's retirement in Malden. Little did I know that night that the mantle that was falling off the Reverend Baxter was falling on me. You see, a few days later, Alvin Graham, I've been preaching around the churches. I was enjoying it. But I was praying and I was asking the Lord to show me where he wanted me to serve him. And I was reading an account of Elijah and Elisha. Elijah was taken up into heaven and the mantle fell from Elijah onto Elisha. I felt that the Lord was speaking to me. Don't ask me, you just know. Just no problem. Whenever the Lord's speaking,
However, you see, as I said, we're still human and we have our own desires where we want to go and where we want to minister. And I read that unless it returns the way that we come, and I thought, oh good, the Lord's taken me back the way I came up, and boy, I'm going back to Armagh. I thought, that's good. New churches, few churches were, the name of them talked about. I thought I was going back to Armagh direction, County Armagh. And as also, I read on and was reading about Ruth and Naomi, and how Ruth and Naomi returned again to Bethlehem and Judah. I said, this is great. This is powerful. I'm going back to Armagh. That's where I want to be. And you know, I was reading then about the wise men that came. They came to the Lord and they went back. I thought, this is powerful. I'm going back to County Armagh. This is where the Lord wants to be. And you know, the church that I thought that the Lord was calling me to, they met. And I was sitting there with the moderator, inter-moderator of the phone line. I thought, what has happened there? What's happened? What's going around that church? He hasn't phoned at 10 o'clock. No phone call. Not 10, no phone call. Not 11 o'clock. It's just morning. I come. I go on the phone. Oh, he says, Jeff, he says, I should have phoned you. He says, ah, they weren't successful. They didn't get a call. That was wrong. My heart sort of sank and thought, well, the Lord makes no mistakes. It's my fault. I've read into it what I wanted to read into it. You see, that's possible. You can do that. You can read into the scriptures what you want. And I said to one, I said, I'm not going to bed tonight. I sort this out. And I went out into the study and I got the maps of the Bible. And I started with Elijah, Elisha, Ruth and Naomi, the wise men. I says, Lord, got it wrong the whole time. Because I had been wrong. The Lord wasn't leading me that way at all. The next night, Mulder was calm. I says, Lord, look where her Ruth and Naomi came from, the left no back, and went up there in northwest. I said, Lord, I think we're going to help them. The next night I got the phone call. Father, almost 90% of the vote. See, the Lord is calling. Heaven and the faith. But I says to the Jonathan Crean, I said, Father, need to pray about this. Now, within about 4 months, 4 weeks, I had to be out of the mass. And we probably thought, so where is that man? And I said, Father, I want to be sure about this. Now, that was a Wednesday night, I think it was. I did a birthday night. And I said, Lord, I want you to show me. I want to have a peace about this. But on the Saturday morning that was coming, he comes to Frankfort at town. And I was ready, and you know the story, man. The wife says, I'll be ready in 5 minutes. Went out into the study and said, Lord, I want you to show me, I need to have a peace about this. I don't want to be going to a church just to have a place, a house to live in, and a pulpit to preach from. I want to know that this is your will. Lord, give me a peace about this. And I was reading in the book of Daniel. Now, Daniel's not the type of a book that you want to go to if you're to forget and so set forth. You've got to show me where I'm reading. And I was reading in Daniel. And I was reading that morning in Daniel chapter 10. And I got down to the verse 19. And you know what it said? Oh man, greatly beloved. What? Almost 90%. I want to pick that box. You know what else he said? Oh man, greatly beloved, fear not. And I thought that's good. Now remember I said, Lord, I want you to give me a peace about this. You know what the next word was? Oh man, greatly beloved, fear not, peace be unto thee. Oh, boy. You talk about the Lord answering prayer? You ask about the Lord guiding you. Well, listen, folks, you're going into 2020. You have a Saviour who saves, a Saviour who keeps, a Saviour who strengthens, a Saviour who guides, a Saviour who will lead you. No fear. Fear not.
Peace belong to thee. The morning came down and we went to Portadown that day. This was all going through my mind. And you know, times it can be quiet. Jesus said, worship the quiet, didn't he? The Lord says to me, Portadown, are you all right? Oh, yeah, I'm all right, I'm all right. And we're going home out the Birches Road. Lauren says, I said, Lauren, I need to go home from Jonathan. She says, what do you have to do? She says, I have to go to Malta. She says, I could have told you that 2 days ago. He says, what? She says, I could have told you that 2 days ago. And this is a wonderful thing about it, listen, folks. He says, how do you know? She says, the Lord spoke to me. But I said, Lord, you speak the word before you. Remember, listen, folks, it's wonderful whenever the Lord calls your wife, tells you, you said to Abraham, I don't get answers like that. When you're walking with the Lord, and you're talking with him, and you're surrendered to him, you know, I've got to finish, and I thank you for your patience. The table filled in potholes, brother. Little bit of that, the steward of our fork. You know, the Lord's blessed us. I have to say that. I come here tonight to exalt the Savior and to encourage you. The Lord has blessed us. You know, we went to Malvern, and the Lord said to me, where am I going to get work? I said, Lord, who do you worry about? The Lord will provide. So can we job and blame caring in the community. Listen, folks, I tell you, this is how good God is. So I want to blame caring on the stairs, we have a wee run for you. And you can steward. You know, if the car broke down, she could walk down the road and tell you to steward, I wouldn't need to get up out of bed. 4 miles down the road, the Lord said, go on the job. I said, enjoy. And then I said, Lord, James is doing his degree in mechanical engineering. He needs a year out. You know how they do a year out. Lord, he needs a placement. I said, Lord, give him a placement. And so then, the moment, 5 minutes down the road, folks. I tell you, he's a God that never fails. He's a wonderful God. I tell you tonight, without him, I'd be lost. And listen, without him as your Savior, you're lost. Lost in sin. If you're walking your own way, listen, I tell you something, you're lost. Because you're not in the path that God wants you to be. You're starting a new year. Oh, listen, folks, I want to say this. I want to lead church in Auchinleck, and Auchinleck it was small, and the Lord used this to build it up. I went back to Malvern, and the church is small, but I trust and pray up 12 years to go, and years to go to our fire. And I believe the Lord will really use us to build it up. Already, what blessings we've enjoyed in just 13 months. We've been able to organize a monthly family night service and receive visitors sitting for every monthly service. Would you believe it, in the Northwest? We've had the college students down for a week. We've had a 2-week mission that was made. The Lord's presence was with us, but many of the people weren't in. I was only there a few weeks and got a phone call one morning, and the lady out of the church, we woman beside her was dying, and you can steer it. A wee woman would not see it. And she says, Jeffrey, she says, what way do you go about starting to talk to her? She said, you want me to come down?
I tried it now, but here at Retina Talk, she says, done a lot of gear on Retina Town. She says, I don't know if you want me to call down and see the wee woman. She says, would you do that? She says, sure. She says, you go ask her, would you like me to visit? Well, Linda, she says, past retirement, she must have hopped out through the window, never pretend to go through the door. But crossing the jiffy, she was back on the phone again. She says, she'd love you to call. I says, I'll go down. Went down and wrote folks a letter to the Lord. And I took part in her service, a funeral service, just a few days later. All the Lord's doing. At a school ministry, I love working with the kids. He has opened the doors into Large Straw, Newton Stewart, and Gorton Primary. I do a 6-week course in addiction around the schools. He's opening up the schools for us. The Lord's blessed us. Each week, Mary, we have visitors coming in. Even this morning, there was a young man and his girlfriend from Market Hill in the church in Baldwin. And how it's the widow's mite that's precious. It's the widow's mite that's good. This year, I hope to have a banner mission in Arch Straw, or no Straw Hill, Orange Hall, outside Newton Stirling on that Longbridge Road. That hall's been attacked, I don't know how many times. We're hoping to have a banner mission in it. Hoping to have a children's mission in the summertime, maybe in September. See, there's no children's meeting in Malton. And we've got out of the schools, they're getting to know me. We're hoping to have a mission, and through the motion of the mission, maybe we'll be able to open up a children's meeting. It's all in God's will and God's plan. And God will bless us. I tell you, I'm not finished. I'm sorry to keep you so long. The Lord's good. If you're not sealed tonight, listen to us. Accept him as your Savior. If you've never been surrendered, surrender your life to a backslider and heart to break with God tonight. Start where you once were. Get back out to your prayer meeting this week. Start the year where you should be. In the prayer meeting, in the services, in the outreach. I tell you something, listen, folks. You'll never know the joy of the Lord in your heart. You'll never know the blessings of God in your life until as you're all God bless you and thank you for listening to the Lord.